they're coming out. They're coming out. You know, the enemy locked up the innocent and released evil into our country. That's going to flip. That's going to flip around. It's going to flip around. I mean, I just, all of a sudden I had this knowing, they're coming out. They're coming out. They're going to walk out free. Thank you for it, Lord. That's been one of my top prayers, is that the innocent people walk out. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Ooh, hallelujah. That's good. I like that song. God is good. Have y'all noticed that we're winning every day? Every day we're winning. You say, well, maybe you are. Maybe I believe something different. Oh, listen, I'm on God's side. Yeah. So if you love Jesus and you're on God's side, then you're winning. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we are winning. And some of the evil things have really come down. Let's go to Galatians 3:13 again. We're not done. Praise the Lord. I like those taco announcements. Thank you, Jesus. If you're a Texan, you love tacos. You know, if you're a Texan, you could eat Mexican food twice a day. I could. It's who we are. Are you there? This is Redeemed Part 6, if you can believe it. Redeemed Part 6. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that's us, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay? Then 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we're talking about redemption. And we know that that is where that Jesus came. He found us in our slavery. We were slaves and he bought us out of it. He came in, the words for redemption are about going into the slave trade, looking around, seeing what's going on, delivering, there's four words, delivering you out of that. And of course you're delivered into sonship. We're no longer slaves. We are sons of God. Amen. So, we're no longer slaves to, Jesse was preaching my sermon up there. We're no longer slaves to sin, sickness, false guilt, condemnation, weakness. We're not slaves to any of that stuff. Amen. So he brought us from life to death. Now go with me over to Ephesians 2:1. We're going to read some scripture here tonight. And I really, this tonight is more of just an encouragement and admonishment to you. If you can pick this up, if you pick it up in the spirit, I believe it will really help you propel forward. You'll really get some momentum going if you can hear me on this. Ephesians 2:1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespass and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You know who that is? Okay. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Do you know who that is? Yeah. See, people that are not saved, right? Among whom also we all conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who's rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. Now pick that up. We were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. okay? And raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you can't boast about how good you've been. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's all about how good God is. Amen. So it said here, this is what I want you to pick up on, that you were dead in sin then, and he made you alive. Now, obviously, we know that it's not dead like your breathing stopped. It's not dead like your heart stopped beating. So I think maybe the better way to help people understand what he's talking about here is it's the death cycle. Once Adam sinned, things fell, the nature fell, or we might say the curse came. The curse came. Adam brought on the curse. All right? You know, I was reading a deal. One of my friends wrote something and said, a professor was talking about evil, and he said, well, if God created everything, he had to create evil. And of course, we all go, no, because obviously that isn't true. The truth is the absence of God created evil. It's just like the absence of light brings darkness, right? So the absence of God brought on all this. He withdrew himself. All right. So there are people who are walking around today who really don't experience real life, particularly the God kind of life. They don't get the Zoe life. But just like Jesus delivered you out of sin and death, he brought you into holiness and into life. So you're brought out of that death cycle. You're brought into the new cycle. Look, a corpse is insensible. Okay. It sees not, it hears not, it feels not. It doesn't hear the sound of music, the voice of a friend. Am I right? Can't hear an alarm. Nothing arouses a dead person. Nothing. Okay? The smell of roses, lilies, nothing. A dead corpse doesn't get excited about a trickling stream or waves from the ocean. Are the beautiful mountains, anything else. Doesn't hear any kind of voice, doesn't love to go out and see the stars. None of that matters to a dead corpse. None of it. You'll see where I'm going. So that's how it is with the sinner in regard to the spiritual and the eternal world. They don't see any beauty in the things of God or in his word. They don't hear the call of God on their life. They're dead to it. They're numb to it. And they're unaffected by the love of the Savior. It's just not there. And so they don't have any interest in eternal realities. It's all just what's going on with them right there. And so in all these things that we have concern about, the dead person has no concern about it. They're not concerned about it. There's life going on. There's energy going on. There's plans and projects happening and everything's intensely active. But in regard to the kingdom of God, all is dead. They're not picking anything up within what's going on. So don't be surprised at the lost souls. Don't be surprised. Consider the source. Okay? Just consider the source. They aren't picking up what you pick up. Amen. Amen. Now, I would say this to you. There are actually many Christians who live more like the dead. They love their own world more than they love the God world. You remember what we said last week? We said that many don't experience all that God has for them for a number of reasons. The reasons would be they haven't heard. There are people that haven't heard. They're ignorant of what Jesus is saying. They could be religiously taught. That could be something. They might love just living the way they want to. They'd rather be somewhere else on Wednesday night than here, you know, the Christian people. But it's not nearly as beautiful if you... if you perceive all that Jesus has done for you. Everything is more beautiful when you have Jesus. The flowers smell better. The sky's more beautiful. You know, there's just something about you that you're so thankful because you know he did it. And so there's a different beauty to it. There's a different life to it. But a lot of people are unaware because they have no word. They have no teachers. They have no mentors. They do nothing but just function in the world and just do things their way. And so they're missing out on what Jesus would call life and life more abundant. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to say something to you, and I believe you'll catch on real quick. We have to learn to see differently. We have to learn to see differently. For example, we cannot just be dazzled by miracles. We can't just be dazzled by them. They can't just be amazing to us. You remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? And then right after that, they go off and get in a boat, and they're going across, and they're out, and the waves get rough. And he went to pray, so he's going to walk out there on the water. You know the story. But the scripture says right after that, it says, this is Mark 6:52, says, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. Wow. Did you know your heart can get hardened? Even Christian people. The more you miss church, the more you won't miss church. It's true. The more you won't miss it because you'll just start getting glazed. Well, I can't come this time. Well, I'm too busy over here. Well, I'm too busy. And you start losing your place. And then you say to yourself, I won't let myself. I'll be all right. I'm praying. I'll be all right, but can't go this time, didn't go last time, didn't do this, hadn't been back, da, da, da. And you think you're in the same place? It's not happening. You need word. You need word preached to you. You need the fellowship of the church. Amen. So you will not stay. No one will stay in the same place. Now, I'm not saying they're not saved, of course. I'm just saying that they would begin to not miss the things of God. And all the other things would become important. But so in this case, they hadn't seen through the miracle. Okay? They didn't let it transform them. Come on. They didn't let it transform them. Church, let the truth of the blood and the body of Christ transform you. Get a hold of the revelation and let it transform you. Yeah. Amen. It's just like we experience the nutrients in food. When you experience any kind of encounter with God, whether it's a revelation, a healing, or a miracle, there's nutrients involved in what you've encountered. And so you have to take that in. You know, we all know, most of us know something about vitamins. Sometimes you have to take another vitamin to make a vitamin work. Everybody knows that you have to kind of be cleaned out, if I can say it that way, for vitamins to work. True. Yep. Everybody knows that you got to take a vitamin that just doesn't end up at the bottom of the... Yeah, okay. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm trying to tell you. So there's spiritual nutrients that help us become strong representatives of Christ. They help us live life in more of a beautiful way. They get into us, and we begin to understand God in a new way when we get closer and move in with these encounters. Now, a few teachings back, I made this comment to you. I said the hidden value of his blood is the spirit of self-sacrifice. Okay. Now, when you let that touch your heart and you let that work out in your heart, then you get a self-sacrifice attitude. You're like, no, I'm going to do this for God. No, I'm going to do this for me so that I can be ready for God. I'm going to eat what I need to eat so that I can do what I need to do for God. And so you'll press into the power of the new life, which the blood then has provided, because within that blood, there's an element of self-sacrifice. Do y'all get that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So We let revelation and miracles touch our hearts and work out in our hearts, and then we change. We're more alive. We're more alive when we do that. So that's how you get life more abundant. That's how your life's going to be better. We allow all that is involved in our redemption to work in our hearts. We let all that is involved work in our hearts. Okay? And so what we saw here tonight is the truth that Jesus has quickened us and made us alive. Now we need to let that work in our hearts. We've seen that the blood, what the blood does, it has an element of self-sacrifice. We see when we're looking at this tonight that just getting a revelation that Jesus has quickened you. He's even quickened your mortal body according to Romans 8. Amen. And it says he quickened you and made you alive. We need to let that get on the inside of us. And then we follow our hearts to do what then our hearts are moving us to do. Yeah, church, it's not enough to be a hearer of the word. It's not enough. Look, in our world, understanding, the word understanding means cognitive reasoning. But in the Eastern culture, understanding means experience. We need to be experiencing this revelation. We need to be experiencing the miracle. We need to get every bit of the juice out of these that we can't possibly can. So that means engaging in activities that involve the senses then. If I preach to you tonight about feeding the poor, everyone in here would say amen, because you know what the Bible says about it and you know what's right. We should take care of the poor. There's always a time that comes up that you give something to someone who has less than you do, right? See, you're amening that right now. But to simply just amen that and then never go and do that does not give you the same results. That's not my subject tonight, but that's a good illustration, isn't it? Yes. So, hearing without doing locks us into form without power. Yeah, that's good. It's form without, it's like using formulas, but not really letting them, that's right, strengthen us, get into us and work with them. You just, okay, first of all, I need to sow a seed. Then I need to believe I receive. Then I need to make the right confessions. All those things are wonderful, but the truth is you've got to have the very baseline with a covenant God to understand why this stuff even works, and then let these kind of truths sink into you until you're breathing them, you're living them. And it's the same with miracles. We're going to see a lot of miracles. And they won't be as amazing as they are just wonderful and transforming us into a place where we see more miracles. And to where we're like, oh, yeah, we can do that. Let's just, okay, deafness leave. And it's gone, right? It's just an everyday life. It's just every day. So we see two things here, allowing truth to work out in our hearts. That's one thing. And then actively participating when prompted by the Spirit. You know, we've seen some miracles. Debbie and Dwayne just had a miracle with their little weenie dog. Sorry, dachshund. They didn't think he was going to walk, and they took him home and prayed. Now he's jumping around like a jumping bean. And the vet is thrilled. What happened there? Well, we should rejoice in that and think about that and think about what God did, and that he loved that weenie dog so much. He loved, whose name is, by the way, is Oscar. Who? Oscar Mayer? See? See? But to actually think about the fact that he loved them so much that he healed their dog. Yes. And to really relish these things, that how much God cares about us, and that he'll do these miracles, that he wants to do these miracles, and that we should, when we encounter these things or we encounter revelation, we let it become a part of us. Yes. Amen. Now, I said all that to say this. The blood of Jesus, the body of Jesus, both redeemed you. So, and we're going to pick up on the body on Sunday. But as we finish this tonight, I want you to experience life. Life. Zoe life. I want you to have that. Amen. So let's look back at these verses. I want to show you something. Ephesians 2, and we'll start with 4 this time. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Remember that. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So now let this work in your heart. Okay. Remember, God lives in your heart. Does he?
Yes.
Yeah. Holy Spirit's in there. So he's working from there. So you mix word with spirit. By grace, you were made alive. By grace, God had mercy on you. The blood redeemed you. He gave his blood, his life blood for your life. And now you're alive inside. Right now, you're alive inside. So what? You don't have to participate in the death cycle. You don't have to. You don't have to participate in it. You're above the curse line. You're above the curse line. Okay? So, by grace. Now listen, very simply. Grace is simply empowerment that makes you strong where you're weak. It makes you strong where you're weak. God's grace actually grows and swells. The Bible said that God's grace, it has a dynamic woven into it. And it gets like a tapestry. And the dynamic that is woven into grace is that it actually grows and it swells. Okay? Yeah. Are you walking with me here? Yeah. Now, so, you know, the worst things could get, if they get worse, or the more symptoms flare up, or the more your mind tries to tell you it's not going to happen, or any of those kind of things, when it looked like it isn't working, guess what's swelling and growing and multiplying? Grace is. Grace is. No matter how it looks, grace is swelling up. If we come to him, he will give us mercy and grace while we're waiting for the fulfillment of that thing that we are faithing in. Church, don't be disappointed if sometimes you have a faith failure. Just get back up and go again. Just get back up and go again. There may be some things that got messed up along the way. It wasn't God. It's somewhere on your side. And sometimes you just didn't start soon enough.
Yeah, that's good.
You ran out of time, whatever, but just get back up and go again. Faith works. It's true. Amen. That was free. So, I just want you to have an expectation that regardless of the challenge, or yet to be seen the answer, or the end of your faith, or whatever you want to call it, if you're not receiving today, you have grace and mercy growing and swelling, and it's like it just keeps you in that place. It's holding on to you while the answer's coming. Manifesting, you have the answer, but while it's manifesting, it's just, you know, that foam that you spray and it'll get real big and it'll hold stuff and you fill up holes, you know, so the wasp can't get in your barn and stuff, you know, that kind of whoosh, that's, it's like that, it'll just fill up and hold you into place.
Wow, that's
a dynamic that is woven into grace. We just don't use that enough. We don't think about that enough. We just start going back into the death cycle thinking, Well, you know, it hadn't happened. I don't know why God doesn't help me. Maybe all that stuff the faith preachers teach aren't really true. Maybe this. That's the devil, Bobby.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is not the truth. By the way, if you're watching, Bobby, I love you. I wasn't talking about you, but isn't that right?
Yes.
So what if we What if we actually let grace and mercy work out on the inside of us? Why don't we do that? Why don't we just depend on the grace of God to hold us in place while we're standing? Having therefore stood, we're standing, we're believing God. Sometimes there are things, you know, when it involves people, people. Mm-hmm. That's right. When it involves people, they have their own will. And so you keep holding them to the light, and you keep holding them to the light. Yes. But you've got the grace and mercy of God while you're waiting. Yes. Prosperity's connected with people, so you keep holding them to the light. You keep believing. You have to do this. You keep staying out while people are making decisions according to how you have seen what needs to happen. Like they get saved, or they sell you your property, or they, you know, do whatever might be the case. You just stay in your place and let grace keep you in that place until you have it. Does that make sense to y'all?
Yeah.
So you stay there and you allow that grace to help you. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, listen, here's the thing. God's grace has an opportunity to swell up and swallow what the devil is doing.
Yeah.
It swallows up so big, you're like, I've got it. I don't care how it looks. I've got this. I've got it. We've got it. You've got it. You've got the answer. God wants to give it to you. Well, now don't wow me. I'm telling you. Sometimes it just takes some time when it has to do with people. They're back there in that death cycle. Where you're hearing the word all the time. You're changing all the time. You're allowing miracles and signs and wonders and the anointing of God to change your life. But some people aren't showing up. They don't show up to anything. And so how can they hear? It says, how can they hear without a preacher? So back from the beginning, I've made a full circle here. Don't be so hard on the people. Like, I can't believe they even believe that. Well, what would you think they would believe if they have nothing good going in? What we do is pray Holy Ghost of laborers across their path.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, some of your kids have been getting it because I've been holding them to the light every day.
Boom.
Some of your relatives, whoever they are. Amen.
Yeah.
It's too late. It's just a matter of time. This chapter will close and a new chapter will happen. And we'll see people get some life.
Yes.
But you know, I want to challenge you to get some life abundant.
Yes.
I want to challenge you to let this stuff work out in you. Let some stuff work out in you.
Yes.
Let how good God is work out in you. Let the blood of Jesus work out in you. Let the body that was broken for you work out in you. Realize what he's done. Think about it. So we go, well, that was a good message, Pastor. See you later. High five. We got to go. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, what are we going to do? That doesn't work. You stay on your path and you let grace and mercy stabilize you and build a tapestry around you so that you're held in place and you keep standing and believing and you don't let go of what you've already believed. Church, I know you probably don't need to be reminded of this, but the devil can only operate through human power. He has no power. Jesus stripped him. So the only way he's going to get any way to have any power to flow is if you open your mouth. I love my friend Bert Wimberly. He was telling me of a loved one who had a situation going on and he was going to try to tell me about it, but he wanted to use the right word. So, you know, Bert's real tall and he just sat down in his office and crossed his legs and says, now I've refused to put any words to this. I'm not going to put any words to the diagnosis they gave this person. And I thought, that's smart. That's smart because anything can change. Those are just facts. But there's a truth above the fact.
Yes.
The truth above the fact is your whole household's coming into God. That's the truth. That's above the fact, because it says you and your family. You and your family. The truth is finances will find their way to you. They'll find their way to you. Just don't give up and don't get disinterested. And don't get satisfied. We got millionaires in here, but let's don't be satisfied with being millionaires. We have stuff to do. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise you. Father, we thank you that every time we're blessed, every time we get a revelation, every time we believe we receive something, we're going to get into this. We're going to get into this, and we're going to allow encounters with you to change our life. We'll not stay the same. We're coming to a place, Father, I know we're coming to this place where we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles every day. In fact, we're pretty much doing a lot of that right now, but even more. Even those who need a miracle lining up at the door.
Yes.
Yeah, I see it in the spirit so clearly. Yes. Lining up at the door. I need prayer, and I heard I could get it. I heard I could get a miracle, because miracles are available right now. Not just for Oscar Mayer.
Yes.
For the people we love.
That's right. Yes.
For the people we don't even know. The people that God loves.
Yes.
And God can't make this happen without you and me. In the name of Jesus, I call all of our Sunday people into this meeting. I call them into this meeting. I pray that they'll come and get what they need to come in every service. I don't think the Lord's asking too much of us to come 3 hours a week. Amen. You don't even have to dress up to come on Wednesday night. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can just come in here right after work. You're like, all right, what are you, just trying to advertise a Wednesday night? No, church. I don't care about that stuff. I want our people to get what they need. That's my heart. That's my passion, that you get what you need. And I know you can't do it with a short Sunday morning service. You gotta, we gotta fire you up so much that you go home and do what most of y'all do. Get into the word. Okay, you come in here talking to me about the word.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some people are just too tired to work on Wednesday night. Then quit that job. Do something else. I'm serious. I'm serious. God has a better way for you to live. Do something that allows you to be in the house. That's the most important thing you're going to do in your life. Did you know that since I came into the Word of Faith, I've never had a job that I couldn't go do what I wanted to do? And that's before I was a preacher. God made a way. Because why? Because I made a quality decision. That I would, if I had to just be an entrepreneur, work like we all work, we all have, you know, our businesses and stuff like, do that.
Yeah.
And God provided every time for me to be in the meetings I was supposed to be in.
He did.
I've never missed a convention, and I worked, 50, 60 hours a week sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I got to go do that.
Yeah.
God will make a way.
Yeah. Praise God.
Flip that over. Well, I can't do that because I need to make money. You have the wrong mindset.
Yes.
Flip that over. Flip that over. And say, no, this is what I'm doing. And your prosperity will go sky high.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Mm. Now, I understand sometimes we have to travel. Sometimes we have to get an ox out of the ditch. Y'all know I'm not talking about that. Y'all know what ox out of a ditch means. Sometimes you work late.
Yeah.
We understand that. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I'm just saying, make good choices.
Yeah.
So that you can have good encounters, so it can work through your heart, so you can go to a higher level and be blessed at a higher level. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to experience life more abundantly and be able ourselves to deliver out life more abundantly. Yes. We thank you, Lord, that we are free to be called on. So I pray for those who struggle with not attending, or those who are just, you know, right on the top of, they just hear a word and it never goes deep. They're just in mental ascent. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that there would be a deeper conviction and a deeper love, a hunger in Jesus' name to dig in to what you have for them. Every encounter is made to pull us into new places. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive our offering. Church, we don't have to be legalistic about anything. God's just offering. For me, well, let's get everybody going first. Come on. Father, we thank you for the giver. We thank you for the tither. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing on our prosperity. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to give via text message, just text VCHL in the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link. You can see right there how to write $1 million. And we'll receive it in Jesus' name. Coming. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. We bless your finances. We bless your life in Jesus' name. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Good? So, you know, I'm just thinking, I just want to say this to the family. I'm not put out. I'm not mad. I don't suffer when other people don't do what they're called to do. True. I had to let go of that 20 years ago. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
And everybody that's ever had been in any leadership, you know that. Yeah. You cannot, people are people. And so if you spend your life concerned about why they don't do this and why they don't do that, you're going to be a mess all the time. You just have to trust people to God and let him take care of them, and you just have to go on. So when I'm preaching these things, like, well, you know, obviously you can see that less than half the people don't come on Wednesday nights. They all have their reasons. I'm not personally going to poke into that. But I'm just talking about all of us coming up to another level, and I know that you have to do that by hearing and hearing. And, you know, we go by certain things. We have certain, that's a good word, criteria when it comes to our leadership and stuff like that. They have to be here. And if you serve on a team that you function every time we have church, you need to be here, obviously, things like that. We have to have people here that are committed to do that and that show up. And I'll just tell you, leaders, if your people aren't showing up, just maybe you need to release them and get some new people. I mean, it's that easy. If they're not in their spot, is there anything? Why? Because we can't serve people if we don't do it. So obviously we have to have structure. But at the same time, we're not going to condemn anyone. If they don't want to come, that's their life.
Yeah. True.
But we want them to get what they need. Yeah. That's my heart. And thank God it is as a pastor.
Right.
I mean, I'd hate to be the person that says, just let them all go to hell. That would not be, would it, Jess? That would not be a very good idea to have a pastor like that, right? So it's got to be and it should be your heart too, that we want people to get what they need. Want to get what they need. So I would just encourage you to pray for people, but don't condemn them if they're not here. Where were you Wednesday night?
No.
That does not help. Or when they walk in the door, you say, well, we haven't seen you in a long time. Glad you finally saw the light. No. You just enjoy your life.
Yes.
Just pray for people. If you see they're missing, pray for them.
Yeah.
If you see they've got a problem, pray for them. And tell them when they are here. Show them how much you love them.
Yeah.
Amen. Show them how much you love them, because you do.
Yeah.
Amen. Life's not just about me. What about me? What about me? What about me? When it gets to be that way, you better back up and do something. Praise the Lord. God is good. Father, we love you. Kibraste boso. Kutanda randalamo shivrebe ke labraba kosite. Ishkilovrebe ke tonda randalamo savre hesikitala. Ishkalonda randalamo sombra. Karabere estavasa katu. Shilevrebe ke tu brostamba rabakosunda randalamo shevre. Erevrebe ke tovrabarabakoso. Lavrabakosinde. Thank you, Lord. 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 We praise you and give you glory. You do what you want to do. You say what you want to say. We always make room for you, Lord. Whatever you want to do, we do what you do. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it. Father, we send the angels out now. We send the angels out to those that we've been praying for. And Father, we command a crop failure, all the negative things. Yeah. And we plead the blood for them today. Yeah. And we declare, Lord, that they'll receive the spirit of sonship and adoption and come into the things of God. Even those that are born again, that they would receive their sonship in a new way. They would encounter sonship. They would allow that to work in their hearts and work out things in their hearts, and they would be sons and not slaves or servants. Another day, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we have our So You Think You Can Preach class Sunday at 6, I think, and we have 20 people coming, and so it's going to be interesting to see. Now, understand, we're not looking to see who could preach so they can take my place, okay? Or even looking for any more preachers. We're not doing that, but we do want people to answer calls that are in their life. And so for those, and some of you don't need it at all, and some of you want to make another run at it, so we're going to be here for that. The main thing, if you'd like to know my objective, what I'm doing, I tell you a secret. Don't tell the people who are coming, okay? Oh, yeah, it's right there in the room. I want to pull out their passion. That's what I'm doing. I want to see their passion. And when you teach, there's a motivational teaching, which is in the scriptures, and then there's fivefold, and the Bible says that Jesus went teaching and preaching. Preaching is proclamation. So you're always going to teach and preach because you're going to proclaim, and then you're going to tell you why. You're going to tell people why you're proclaiming. That's as simple as it is. So if I say, God is good, I just proclaimed that. And then I'll say, and if you want to know why, go over to John 10:10, and we'll start there, and then we'll go over to James, and then we'll go here, and then we'll go there, and then we'll find out how I found out God was good. It wasn't just because Brother Copeland told me, it was because he showed me where it was written. But whatever you're going to proclaim, if you're going to proclaim prosperity over people, you got to teach them why you see that.
Yeah, true.
That's good. So that's what we're working on. And everyone has something in them, in a particular thing that comes out of them in the word that is the most prominent. And so it's going to be fun to watch them do it. So be praying for everyone. We're not going to do the gong show or anything. So, but we are going to have fun, and there's some surprises coming up. So I think they're going to enjoy it. So will you pray for them? By the way, I want to tell you that we have the thermostats pray all the time. And if you ever have a need, all you have to do is text one of us, and it will come up and go out with the thermostats, and they all pick it up and pray. They all do. And so it's a wonderful thing. Prayer is the main thing. It's a main thing in life. It comes before even having these meetings, because if we don't pray through these meetings, we'll just have a lot of junk. Amen. We have to have anointing. We have to have what God is serving up. And so that takes prayer. And I've already preached to you long enough. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. You receive me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We're moving toward Resurrection Day. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. See you Sunday.